Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our verse-by-verse study in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We'll begin in chapter 5 today, but before we do, let us go to the Lord and pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray your blessing upon this study today. We pray that we would be led and guided by the Holy Spirit, the author of your very words. We pray for the saint of God that's listening today that this study would minister to them in a very special way. We pray they'd be encouraged and strengthened to continue on in these end times for you, dear Lord. And Father, we pray if there's a lost sinner listening today that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, trusting in only his shed blood for the forgiveness of all their sins, and to give them a home in heaven, we pray this would be the very day that they would call upon the name of the Lord, as it says in the Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. Father, we commit this time into thy hand, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're in what we call the home stretch. We've been for the last several weeks going verse by verse through the book of 1 Thessalonians. And now, as I say, we're in the home stretch. We're in the very last chapter of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. And before we begin, what I want to do is give you a little breakdown for chapter 5. If we were to give a title to this chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, the title could possibly be The Model Walk in the Day of the Lord. The Model Walk in the Day of the Lord. Now, this chapter can be divided into four sections. In verses 1 to 3, we have the coming day of the Lord. In verses 4 through 11, we have be watchful and encourage one another. And then the third section in verses 12 through 22, we find the commandments for the Christian life. And then our fourth and final section of this chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, we find the closing remarks in verses 23 to 28. Now let's turn together to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In this first section is in verses 1 to 3. We'll read down through verses 1 to 3. This first section is entitled The Coming Day of the Lord. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Let me give you a little bit of analysis and background here. Paul had thoroughly briefed the Thessalonians that the tribulation would come suddenly. He assumed that they were aware of the background to the times in which they lived. In 2 Thessalonians, however, he again talked about the sequence of events with apostasy occurring as the end was approached, and that this would be followed by the rapture of the church and the revelation of the Antichrist. In Matthew chapter 24, in verse 3, in his Olivet discourse, the Lord Jesus Christ was asked, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world. In the following verses, he tells his disciples that the appearances of false Christs and wars and rumors of wars does not represent a prelude or birth pangs of his second coming. By contrast, however, the Lord says that world wars, nations rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, combined with famines, earthquakes, and pestilence, will be the birth pangs of the tribulation. The Thessalonians were told quite clearly that the time of the tribulation would come quickly as a thief in the night. Many people interpret the thief in the night as a lone burglar creeping around a house at night, stealing objects from an occupied house. In the ancient world, however, the thief in the night was a band of thieves who would come with much noise on houses and force their entry into the property there to steal and pillage. You see, they came suddenly and violently. People will be caught unawares by this. They will see only peace and safety, but the tribulation will come swiftly upon them. Again, the analogy of labor pains is given. Let's make an application with what we just read. Uniquely in this century, we have seen not only world wars, but also a vast increase in earthquakes, famines, as well as the rebirth of Israel in the control of Jerusalem by the Jews. There is also the rise in technology that mirrors areas of economic and political control portrayed in the scripture for this period. We should not be trying to define time and date for the return of the Lord. We should, however, be alert to what is happening and be aware that the Lord could return for his church at any time. You see, the Lord will return for his church at the Father's bidding. Future events related to the start of the tribulation include a period of peace and safety which will suddenly be disrupted. Now let's look at our second section in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 4 to 11. And this section is entitled, Be Watchful and Encourage One Another. So let's begin in verse 4 down through 11 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. Now, Paul tells the Thessalonian believers that they are not in darkness, and therefore they should not be ignorant of future events. This is seen again in the first epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 8, which states, "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth." The transition from darkness to light is also given in Romans chapter 13, verse 12, where Paul tells the Romans, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." In Psalm 119, verse 105, we see what the Bible is to the believer. We read, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." In verse 5 that we just read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul tells the Thessalonians that they are all sons of light. They are not of darkness. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, the Ephesians are told, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." The need to be alert is amplified in verse 6 of our chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, where the analogy of the sleeping believer is given. This is the lukewarm believer of the church of Laodicea of Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelations chapter 3, verses 14 to 22. And this is the church period of church history that you and I are in right now. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 and 22. "And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." And of course, this is Jesus speaking. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice, open the door, and I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And that's the period of church history that we're in. We have many, many churches today, big churches, big congregations, modern facilities, but they're neither hot nor cold. They're rich materially, amen, but spiritually, they're poor. They're bankrupt. Let's continue now as we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, as we're looking at the second section of this chapter entitled Be Watchful and Encourage One Another, as found in verses 4 to 11. Now, the concept of being alert also involves self-discipline, which is another meaning for that could be the word sober. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, Peter exhorts us to be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. In verse 7 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the concept of sleeping and getting drunk at night is given. The darkness of day is again analogized to the realm of the unbeliever and wasted time. A parallel warning is given by the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 21 in verse 34, where he says, "And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares." The fact that those who got drunk in the ancient world did so at night is confirmed in a statement by Peter in his sermon at Pentecost, where to the accusation that the believers were drunk, he replied that they were not drunk, as it was only 9 o'clock in the morning. In verse 8 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul now exhorts the Thessalonians to act as mature and effective Christians by putting on the armor of God rather than being asleep or drunk. In the ancient world, if a Roman soldier was found to be asleep while on duty, he was set alight and burned to death. This could have been a very powerful image in the mind of the readers of this epistle. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 13, Paul tells the Ephesians, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." In Romans chapter 9, in verses 22 to 24, the Apostle Paul asks the question, "What if God, willing to shew his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory of the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles." Then the believer is secure, is seen in Romans chapter 8, verses 29 to 30, where Paul states, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. In whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." In verse 10 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we note that Jesus Christ died for the carnal as well as the spiritual Christian. We constantly are related to God, whether we are carnal or spiritual. And then in verse 11, of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul ends this section by urging the Thessalonians to encourage or comfort one another and edify or build each other up. He notes that they are already doing this and urges them to continue to do so. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Paul encourages us. He says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Now, let's take with what we just read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verses 4 through 11. I gave you a little bit of analysis and background, but let's make an application to the believer today, which this epistle applies to. Amen. We as believers should take the Bible, and then again, when I say the Bible, the Holy Bible, I mean the King James Bible. That's where you and I can find God's inspired, inerrant, infallible words preserved. So we as believers should take the Bible as literal and not be ignorant of future events and what is coming on the world. The only time that a person can use the scripture in this way, this is once he has come out of darkness into light, he has become a believer. The more a spiritual believer knows about the Bible, the more he is in the light. We are children of the light because we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and are therefore born again spiritually. A child of light can walk in darkness if they are out of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 7 tells us, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. A Christian out of fellowship is therefore a son of light who is walking in darkness. We need to be in fellowship to rightly divide the word of truth. For spiritual things are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The sleeping believer is the carnal Christian who is of no use for the Lord. As we see the signs of the return of the Lord, we should redouble our effort for him. The time is short, and we need to be vigilant in our Christian walk. Well, our time is just about run out here on the pastor study. Again, I want to remind you that the study that we've been doing on 1 Thessalonians is available on audio cassette tape at the end of the broadcast. You'll be given the contact information. And if you're interested in receiving the tapes, just drop me a line. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the pastor study today. And until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you. And good day.